Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm going to look up this song that they just did with CBS News at the top of the hour. Okay, so that Gordon Lightfoot song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, may be in the top five most overrated songs of all time. I don't know why people like that song. It's not really a radio hit. I don't think we ever played it on our station, but people would request it all the time. I don't understand it. And Gordon Lightfoot in general, it takes a little bit to try to enjoy his music. So historically speaking, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, well worth remembering, but that song is not worth remembering. We got a lot to get to on Overnight America. We're going to talk about the animal shelter situation and what's going down there. KMOV did a story on that. President Trump taking a visit to the LSU-Alabama game. It looks like there's a lot of people that liked him there. And it looks like through Ticketmaster, they're getting sued by some fans because of Madonna. Is it really worth it? Now, basically what Madonna is known for anymore. So the controversy, not so much. But the being late, that is where it's at. So we got a couple of things I wanted to get to, and it's kind of a slow night, kind of a sleepy Sunday night into Monday morning. My favorite Sunday night show is on right now with Mr. Gary, Them Yo People. It's such a good show, so I got to monitor that some. Let's go to St. Peter's and Wayne, who's calling in. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm glad you survived your weekend.
You know, it was a nice, laid-back, lazy weekend. I loved it.
Yeah, and then she yelled about you for not getting all the work done. She
I just did the bare minimum to make it sound like I did a lot of work, but I really didn't.
Listen, on your question about mulch and leaves and that, I always mulch my leaves. Got a riding lawnmower. Mm-hmm. And I never, when I cut my grass, I never catch your clippings. I just let them fall on the grass.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of property?
About half acre.
Okay.
And I fertilize. About every 2 years, I'll get aerated.
Uh-huh.
And then I, in the spring, I get some weed and feed.
Uh-huh.
And mix about two-thirds of weed and feed and a third of grass seed.
Okay.
And spread that over there and never water my grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some, I got neighbors that water their grass all the time and that. Feed it about four times a year. Mine looks as good as they do. We have a lot of people come by and say, oh, you got a nice lawn. Thank you.
Yeah.
Much.
Well, how long have you been just mulching the leaves and allowing it to just lay?
19 years at this place.
How many leaves, what's the amount of leaves you get?
Oh, if I let them go, I probably got the front and the back both. I probably got 4 or 5 inches if I let them go.
Whoa, that's a ton of leaves. How many trees you got on that property?
There's about five of them. Now, that's not over the whole property. That's where the trees are.
Yeah.
And I got probably leaves cover about, probably cover almost a quarter of it. So.
Yeah. So you just mulch them up and you leave them on the ground. You don't bag them or anything like that with the riding lawnmower.
Nope, mulch them. And then when I cut the grass during the summer, I cut it 4 inches high and I let the clippings fall and all that ends up.
Yeah,
all ends up, breaking down and fertilizing the ground.
And you, again, you've been doing it for that long, and it doesn't affect your lawn whatsoever?
Nope.
How often are you out there mulching those leaves?
Oh, during the summer, I'll have to mow every fourth day or so.
Every 4 days you're on that riding lawnmower. But you're not getting leaves all summer long. You're just getting leaves.
Oh, I've done it twice so far this year. And I'll probably have to do another one, another three at least.
Yeah.
I'll probably be mulching leaves until end of the month, maybe first part of December.
There's still a lot of leaves left on those trees, so I keep
looking. Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
I figure at a certain part, I'm going to be able to basically bag. Like, I'll bag the leaves, but whatever is left on the ground, I don't feel too bad about. I won't go back and re-rake or anything like that. But I've always raked up the leaves.
Yeah, my wife always wanted to rake and bag them and set them out, and I said, that's kind of stupid. Let's try this. And so it works. So we don't bag any.
Almost
the only thing
she
bags is she'll bag up another to put enough to put on our plants, you know, that our perennials.
Yeah.
Put over those and then take them off in the springtime.
I can see that helping. So are you out there? You put some burlap over those things tonight?
It's not gonna freeze.
Oh, tonight it won't.
In the ground.
Yeah.
No, we'll put the leaves on, and that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, Wayne, for that tip. Good to
hear
from you.
Okay, I want to comment on your lack of calls.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like you get the most calls when you're talking about St. Louis team, sports, or politics.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody just sits there, it seems like.
Yeah, so, we sit back. You know, in the politics thing, it's a trap. You know, that's the thing. Well, you can do the politics all the time. But it turns into this.
No, I don't mean all the time, but, you know, every once in a while you need to open lines up for that, because that seems like when you get a lot of calls and you know, people like to vent and all that. So
yeah, I mean, if we can just do this, and it's like rehashing things that people heard on Fox News or CNN, and it gets boring to me. That's the problem.
I know, but you're wishing for more calls, and that'll get it. You know, just once a week or every couple of weeks, and you'd be surprised how many people probably call.
Yeah, I normally do politics at least once a show, something political. Tonight I wasn't planning on it because there wasn't a whole lot that happened over the weekend that was all that interesting. But, okay.
And, you know, in St. Louis, most of people revolve around the Blues or the Cardinals, you know?
Yeah.
And they talk about them all year round. So
yeah.
Just a thought.
All right. Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, buddy.
Bye.
Take care.
So there's Wayne going around on his riding lawnmower, just mulching it right up and leaving it on the grass. You know, I should go talk to the other neighbors what they do, but they all rake them, and all their lawns look good right now. You know, so my wife came home. She said, it doesn't even look like you raked. I said, what, are you kidding me? Do you see how many leaves there were when you left? I got all these bags of leaves I'm waiting to put out on the curbside on the right day. So yeah, and I know it's still coming down. You just need a nice, like tomorrow, if we're going to get some rain or snow, it's going to knock those leaves right back down into the ground, so it's not going to look like it did anything. But I think we're getting to the point where I'm going to be satisfied with just picking it up through the lawnmower. We'll see. You know, there's a animal shelter, a new person that's going to be running the St. Louis County Animal Shelters, and there's some issues with their volunteers, and we talked about that last week. I have a theory about what happened there, and we're going to talk about it coming up on Overnight America KMOX. Past midnight. I want to thank all the veterans that are listening tonight on Overnight America, and happy Veterans Day to you. Thank you for your sacrifices to this great, great, wonderful country. You may be listening anywhere in the United States right now, not just here in St. Louis, where we're based out of. You can call 800-925-1120 or 800-925-1120, which I just said, or 314-436-7900. I did it backwards that time, and it threw me off. I got the text message you dumped, too. So there's a story that KMOV did over the weekend, and it was the part of it was about the drive to try to re-sign up volunteers at the St. Louis County Animal Shelter. And I think this whole thing is a complete mess all the way around, because there's a federal lawsuit that's now filed against the St. Louis County Animal Control volunteers that were being forced to reapply for their jobs. I think it's kind of nonsense. I don't think they have much of a case to stand on. But and the reason for that is I don't think they're being discriminated against. You're a volunteer. You're not getting paid. It's weird that you're treating it like there's some sort of, you know, financial damage by you being told that you have to reapply for your volunteer job. But nonetheless, I feel like instead of them just doing what they should have done, which was dismiss someone that they didn't want as a volunteer, they dismissed everyone. And they used that as a way to try to hide the fact their only reason they were doing it is because they had some whistleblowers on the inside pointing out a lot of their flaws. And you know what normally happens? And this happens in organizations that really need a change. When you have an instance where the workers, and in this case, the volunteers are upset, and the volunteers are the things that keep these shelters running. I mean, they do all the jobs that are just so essential to keeping those animals happy, at least as happy as they can for being locked up for, you know, 22 hours of the day. So they're walking the dogs, they're socializing the dogs, they're playing with the dogs. They're probably cleaning up after the dogs after they use their caged area and couldn't make it outside in time. Obviously, they don't have the same attention as a pet at home would have, so you don't know and you don't get to see the signs when they need to go out. But they're probably also doing things other than just cleaning. They're probably doing the laundry to help any of the blankets or things that may be in there. You know, they're cleaning up they're helping other volunteers. They're helping when people get in there, and they're making the place presentable so when someone walks in there, they're not grossed out and they say, there's no way I'm adopting a dog from here. They're trying to do everything they can for these dogs. And when there are failures in the system, and part of the failures that we saw with these shelters and the biggest criticisms that they had was that they were mixing unhealthy dogs with healthy dogs. So essentially what you're happening is if you're a healthy dog and you get to the shelter, there's a higher chance if you're mixed with an unhealthy dog, someone that's a dog with a sickness that's not being treated, that it will transfer that sickness over, which is bad news because now you're talking about other dogs being relatively healthy, flipping over to the unhealthy side. Now there's a cost associated with trying to treat that dog, or in some cases, the cost could be that dog's life if they can't turn that around. Now, it's not just stray animals that they're picking up that this is happening to. It could be a family dog or cat or whatever it is that gets picked up because it got out of the house and it's loose and their owners are trying to find it frantically. And then they call around and they find, oh, thank goodness the shelter's got the dog. They pick up the dog and now the dog has a slew of diseases for being there just for a short amount of time that this family has to go to the vet and spend a lot of money on. Or in some cases, they're finding that they can't. And there's irreversible damage done to their beloved family pet. And they find these things, and they do this audit, and they realize there's so much mismanagement and problems that are going on and things that they could have tried to fix from the begin with. And one of the whole reasons why this audit came about in the first place is because there were people from the inside pointing out some of these terrible things because they were concerned about the well-being of these animals, which, by the way, volunteers should be doing that. So I'm giving you my theory. This is just a really long theory altogether. My theory is they thought, well, we can get in trouble if we just let go of the volunteers that complain. So we're going to let all the volunteers go and then we'll just hire back everyone else except the ones that complained as if no one would notice. And that was it. So what you're doing is you're taking the ones that cared the most about the animals and you're pushing them out the door. Great. Is that really a good strategy? Or perhaps, could it be, maybe the people that worked there that allowed these sort of things to happen for a long period of time and didn't make things better for the animals, maybe they're the ones that should have their jobs evaluated. Now, KMOV did a story that there is a new hire that's getting ready to get in. Maybe they did that, an animal population manager at the Animal Control Center. And this is what KMOV did over the weekend about this one.
I've ran an intake room at a government shelter before, and I've seen how many animals come in versus how many animals get adopted out. And that's when you really do end up, you really rely on that rescue community.
And part of that includes helping hands.
A strong volunteer base is crucial to the success of the shelter.
Following months of
Oh, that's interesting. So you're going to ask the new hire. You're going to find out that, oh, yeah, a volunteer base is essential. That's why we fired them all. That's why we let them all go.
A strong volunteer base is crucial to the success of the shelter.
So we let all 300 of them go. They have a really strong volunteer base. And I don't know how large of an operation this is. I haven't actually been to the shelter. But my wife and I are going to be in that scenario where we're going to be looking for another dog sometime soon. And we're thinking even by the end of the year. And I hear these stories, these horror stories about how the animal's there. And it breaks your heart because you're like, man, I just don't think I can afford to go in there and adopt what you tell me is a healthy animal, but really in the background, you're not treating these animals right. And then I take the animal to the vet and I realize there's thousands of dollars of bills associated with this animal because you didn't take care of the animal properly. I don't know if I can afford that risk. So people hear these stories and they get very, very scared. And these volunteers, the ones that blew the whistle on this, I don't think they did anything wrong because the things that needed to get done are finally getting done there. And they're the ones that are getting pushed out for it.
Following months of controversy surrounding issues at the shelter, all 400 plus volunteers are being
400 plus. That's a lot of volunteers. Wow.
Required to reapply for their positions.
And I do know that currently the leadership team is interviewing volunteers as quickly as possible, and they are trying to get them back into the building as quickly as possible.
Her goal is to give the animals the best care and put them in the best homes.
Every decision that's being made at this point is for the betterment of the animals in the shelter.
That one.
I don't know. Because you go back to this other story and KSDK and all the other websites, including KMOX.com, they had this up there for a while. And this is from last week. So the federal lawsuit filed against St. Louis County by animal control volunteers who are being forced to reapply. Yeah, roughly 450 volunteers. That is so high. A federal lawsuit against the St. Louis County, County Executive Sam Page, and two of its directors. It claims their constitutional rights of free speech and free assembly were violated. I don't believe that one bit. I talked to Brad Young about this. We're going to have to get him on the show maybe this week if this story still lingers a little bit longer. But I got his initial take on this, and I said, Brad, what do you think about this lawsuit? And he says he doesn't think there's a lot of merit to it. He doesn't think it's going to go anywhere. It's probably more of a headline and sensationalized in the headline than it is actually something that could go somewhere. Now, there could be other things that were brought up initially after I had the conversation with Brad, but still, it doesn't look too good in that sense.
That will include some new programs she's working on, from fostering to animal behavior, which will help every animal be in the best shape to find their forever home.
We're going to be working closer with the rescue community and trying to get more rescues to pull dogs and put them into foster homes, because a lot of dogs thrive more in a foster home than they do in a shelter environment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this is good. You can work with the different organizations that are already out there, and they have a pretty good take on this. They have a pretty good understanding of what would be an animal that they can adopt and not. And there's a lot of great animal organizations across St. Louis and people doing good things there. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. And I already gave you my philosophy of what I think happened. They should have just been straightforward, as if they thought they could be sneaky. Oh, if we let everyone go, then it's not discrimination or whatever it is. They're not employees. I mean, they're volunteers. Can you discriminate against a volunteer that you don't want there? Yeah, absolutely. I think an organization can do that. If they don't want someone there volunteering for them, I don't think they have an obligation to humor them and say that they have some sort of constitutional right to volunteer at an animal shelter, as if they don't have the ability to go volunteer somewhere else or do something else. I don't think it's a First Amendment violation myself. So I think it's a pretty big stretch. Do they have a reason to be disgruntled? Yeah, I'm sure they have a big reason to be disgruntled, and good for them to be disgruntled. Why not be disgruntled? They weren't treated fairly. That's my take on it. And, you know, there could be some other things happening behind the scenes I don't know about that contributed to that, but who knows. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You see who made an appearance at the LSU-Alabama game? It was President Trump. How do you think they treated him this time around? He went to a Washington Nationals game and they booed him. What do you think happened this time? Do you think they like them down south? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, yes. You remember what happened when President Trump visited the World Series game? Yeah, back when they were playing the World Series. It seems like forever ago. All right, so here's what happened over in D.C. back at the end of October. All right, so President Trump was booed by the Washington Nationals fans and the people that were attending that game. So did he get the same reception when he went to the LSU game, the Alabama LSU game? So when he went there, he was cheered. Hey, how about that? And even something surprising happened. CNN went out in front of the game and talked to some of the fans. What do you think about President Trump?
You don't think he's been treated?
No, I don't.
Why?
I don't. Because when the man tried to help the country and you still are trying to find a situation to throw out his character to help the country, it's kind of begging for it because ain't no perfect president. So everybody got their claws. But I think he's been treated unfairly.
Can I ask what you think of all the impeachment stuff that's going on in Washington?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's unfair. And I wish they would focus on getting stuff done instead of harassing the president.
Oh, how about that? They just missed an opportunity to yell fake news. Hashtag fake news, CNN. Wouldn't that be great right on their ear? But, you know, they put that piece together. It goes to show you he's got a lot of support, at least at that game, and a really large audience to see that one, too. President Trump, apparently a lot of the fans gave CNN an earful out there outside of the Alabama game, saying they was being treated unfairly. So it says, the sentiment confirms what polls have suggested, and this is from The Blaze, that despite the focus of Democrats on the media on the impeachment inquiry, the average American views the proceedings as a nuance and perhaps even they look at it as harassment. New York Times showed that while voters in the six tightest 2016 swing states do not support impeaching Trump from office, 53% to 43% that generally support the impeachment inquiry. I think this is going to make the Democrats look foolish in the long run. And this is what's going to end up happening. Unless something else changes with the whole impeachment and the problem that we're having, they'll do the vote. The Democrats will get what they want because they have the ability to, the majority, and they'll start the impeachment process. It'll be in the headlines, President Trump impeached. And then you'll hear a million times people trying to remind you. It doesn't mean he's removed from office. It means that they start looking into it. If everything we know has been presented, let's say we know at least a majority or most of things that have already been presented, and we can look at that and say the whose argument would win right now from what we know. Not only do the Democrats have no chance at winning this thing, because number two, it has to go through the Senate, which is not going to happen. You'd have to present something pretty spectacular against the president of the United States to actually remove him from office during this process. But essentially what's going to happen is the Democrats are going to go out there. They're going to say a bunch of things that they're going to say is the end of the world. You know, the sky is falling, which they've done for the last 3 years. And then most people are going to look at that and say, that's it. That's the hand you played. And I think in a process like this, the Republicans are ready to fight back and they're going to fight with everything they got to. So most of this that has been just a Democrat-controlled propaganda that's gone out there and has really been pushed to the headlines for the mainstream media, I think the Republicans that are going to take this opportunity in this process to just show how much nonsense the Democrats are pulling right now is going to negatively reflect on them in the 2020 election. We're coming up to this big election next year, and I think that if they think the only thing they can do right now is air the dirty laundry and make it into an impeachment hearing, and somehow that's going to be the magical thing that'll take down Donald Trump, man, that's going to be a tough call for them. Because I think what's going to happen is the party's going to be damaged so much, it doesn't matter who they put up at that point. I think most people are going to rally behind the fact of just how much nonsense this is to begin with. So they're going to kill the chances of whoever actually can have the opportunity to beat a Donald Trump. You know, to me, I still think Joe Biden's got a chance at it, and he's got a legit chance at doing it. But what happens if Joe Biden's being repped by the Democrat Party, who has been tainted so bad by these proceedings, that he's not going to be able to dig himself out of that hole? He's just going to keep digging himself even further. It's not going to go well for them. It really won't. I think that's where it's at right now. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more of that this week, an awful lot more of that this week. President Trump at the football game. Maybe he sticks to college football. Maybe that seems to be more in his wheelhouse down south. There's another story. Maybe I'll do that here in a moment. But did you know that Ticketmaster is being sued again, and they've had their own issues in the past, but this time it's from a fan disgruntled because of one of their artists not showing up at the time they said they would show up. Now, is this a legitimate lawsuit? It's definitely frustrating, I can say that, but we'll find out next, and it has to do with Madonna. Yes, she's number one. Yes, she's still alive. Everyone was wondering that. Oh, I didn't know she was still. Yes. And yes, she still performs. So we'll find out about that next on Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. And it's a not freezing night, which is good, but tomorrow it'll be a whole different story. At this time, it'll be very chilly. Oh, look who's calling in. Patrick over in D.C. I got your email, Patrick.
Well, you know, you went from Nikki Haley to Madonna. I couldn't resist, you know?
I saw you working. You're working on your car this weekend. I didn't know you were handy that way, too. I thought you just really tried to rig things together.
Well, that's the nature of politics. That would be expected.
Fit in that way, yeah.
Yeah, but my family back is in automotive and transportation, so I would be very good with transportation issues and transportation matters. I like the movement of people. It's pretty exciting to me.
Yeah.
And so you can keep your snow. We have enough flakes over here. All right? They will all be out this week, and boy, I tell you, last week was short-lived. But we know, you know, when you were mentioning the story about discussions with Nikki Haley, the former UN ambassador, Matthew Whitaker comes to mind when I think of somebody going up to the UN, because his performance before Congress when he said to the congressman, you know, your 2 minutes are up or something like that.
Oh, man, that's right. I remember that. No, he is very aggressive in his approach, and he... You know, I kind of like him. It's interesting. I haven't seen him around all that much anymore.
If I was the president, as soon as that was done, I would just get up to the UN right now.
Go take care of it.
You know, handle them right now.
Yeah, we're still going on. There's a lot of international issues. Now, I don't know how much the UN is going to have when it comes to discussions of the Paris Climate Accord, because just last week the president announced formally we're able to get out of it. You know, at least the starting procedure of it all. You know who did a great video on that this weekend was John Stossel. Do you like him?
Oh, I remember him, the former ABC guy, or is he still ABC?
Well, no, he's doing some more independent work, some websites and things, but he did a video about that Paris Climate Accord, and my goodness, he is so good at cutting through that hype and just getting straight to the point. And he pointed out some really great things about that. I might have to play that video on the show, but it's worth a watch.
I'll be darned. Here, I was making fun of if I had my radio network, I would have Geraldo Rivera with the a radio special with the whistleblower call-in. We'll have his voice disguised so we don't reveal his identity. I mean, what the heck? If they can make the Statue of Liberty disappear on TV, I might as well have a whistleblower on the radio. You know?
I'm going to check real quick. Is to Geraldo, yeah, he's still doing his show over in Cleveland, WTAM. I remember that they signed him on for like an hour a day or something, and he's still doing it. How about that? Now, you know that
Amazing.
Statue of Liberty, do you know how they did that? I saw later how David Copperfield pulled that trick off.
It was with lights, wasn't it?
Not exactly. Well, I guess it could be. The video I watched explained it. I guess they could be wrong, but it was pretty convincing. So... this is how they did it. So, and spoiler alert, if anyone doesn't want to know how this magic was performed 30 years ago or whatever it was. So when they had this set up, everyone was on this giant platform that was kind of like a Lazy Susan. So what they had was what it made it look like, you know, they'd open up the curtains, you'd see the Statue of Liberty, they'd close the curtains, and then when the curtains opened back up, the Statue of Liberty was gone, right? That's what you saw. So the way that they set the cameras up and they put the people on the stage... what they did was when they closed the curtains, this Lazy Susan just started to move in a different direction. So once you were looking at a different direction, they'd open it up, and the Statue of Liberty was hidden behind still where the curtains where the, you know, where you couldn't see the opening, the slit where they opened the curtains. It was still hiding behind there, but then they closed it, and then they rotated this giant Lazy Susan stage back, opened it back up, Statue of Liberty was there again.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, that's how they did it. Now, the people that were there, I had to have known. It had to have been planted, but either way, the trickery on the television was making sure they rotated it not enough where you would see the Statue of Liberty, like, you know, float away in the background or anything. But once you have the camera there and everything else is stationary, you don't see the movement in the background or anything because it was all hidden. It was just you see the opening and closing of the curtains.
Funny. That's kind of like the impeachment inquiries, right? I mean,
yeah, just rotate it enough and open it up and pretend you got a case. Yeah, that's pretty close to it. I wonder if Copperfield was involved in somehow to make it a little bit more magical than it actually is.
It's another episode in the day in the life of People on Your Money. That's what they do. And, of course, you know, one of the things that we all have to say to ourselves when we go into this impeachment things and we keep inquiry, shall we say, and listen to it, is just keep repeating to ourselves, no pay raise. No pay raise.
Yeah, I know.
Because they'll throw this up in the air so hard at us, and at the last minute, they will vote themselves a pay raise.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a pretty good prediction with those characters.
Now, you see what they're hinting at right now, and this is going to be spectacular if this happens during the inquiry. So did you see what Lindsey Graham was hinting towards?
No, well, I missed it.
Lindsey Graham and some other politicians are hinting, and this already came up before, but they suggested that this whistleblower went to Adam Schiff first, and Schiff may have coached him on what to say in order to put this together, in order to start this whole process to begin with, this one whistleblower or whatever. So Lindsey Graham and some other politicians, some prominent politicians have come forward, and they have suggested they have enough evidence to prove bribery occurred. Now, if that's the case, Adam Schiff, what if he bribed this person in order to put this report together and to be the whistleblower in order to get the train running? What if that comes out? Wouldn't that be spectacular?
Well, you know, it's dirty deeds done dirt cheap. that's pretty much the nature of politics. It is our gross national product, if you want to talk about the gross national product. It most certainly is. But each of them, and it's unfortunate that even that speculation has to come from the distinguished gentleman from the state of North Carolina, I believe the eastern North Carolina, I recall, Mr. Graham, that he cannot say more statesman, doesn't have more statesman-like things to talk about when he wants to talk about helping the homeless, helping people with mental illness, you know, any sort of reform, you know, even what happened? You were talking about Ticketmaster. Whatever happened to Trivial Lawsuit?
Yeah,
remember that we were talking about how to end Trivial Lawsuits and for medical purposes from doctors and things like that, so they can keep medical costs down.
Mm.
Whatever happened to that? But you know, one other thing here. If you recall, after 9/11, they formed this shadow government. You remember hearing about that?
Sure.
Shadow government.
People talk about that a lot. That, I mean, has come up a lot.
Well, I wonder whatever happened to the shadow government, because maybe they ought to bring that one out into the light and put this one back into the shadows, you see, and maybe we might get a little bit more progress done.
You think so?
You might think so, huh? Whatever happened to the shadow government? So you have a busy week ahead of you, no doubt, as soon as the fireworks start shooting off from over here.
There is a lot of that. No, by the way, Lindsey Graham, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah,
okay,
South Carolina.
That's pretty bad that I made that slip, because, you know, there's Carolina herself and Carolina to the north.
You know, I had to double check that just to make sure, and I couldn't remember. I thought it sounded right. All right, Patrick, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, bye. Yeah, this will be interesting. I'm sure this will be a big talk of the town starting tomorrow. But wouldn't that be just absolutely spectacular if we find out there was some bribery involved with this whistleblower and it has to do with Adam Schiff? Oh, boy, wouldn't that be something? Now, tell me that wouldn't go back and blow up in their faces. Just a quick thing. And NBC News posted this, and I was kind of surprised by it. A Florida man has filed a class action lawsuit against Madonna after a concert he planned to go and attend in Miami Beach was pushed back by a couple of hours. So it happened, let's see, he purchased a ticket, in this ticket to go see Madonna, because he had apparently some really good seats, for 1,000 $24. So a little over $1,000 for this thing to go see it at the venue. And at the time when he bought the tickets, the show said it started at 8:30. Well, later, they pushed it and rescheduled it to 10:30. And complaints started to come in. So what happens with these complaints? Ooh, do they listen to them? Do they give them ticket refunds? The ones that said, you know what? That means the concert's not going to get out till like 1 a.m. Ain't nobody got time for that. If you got a job or have school, I can't just go out until 1 a.m. for a Madonna concert. So they said, I want my money back. Now, where they bought the tickets through, Live Nation said, nope, won't do it. I said Ticketmaster earlier. I meant Live Nation, apparently. So they say, no, you're not getting any money back. So he said, get out of here. I'm just going to sue you then. And they're trying to make it into a class action. Why? Because once they push back to 10:30, no one wants to repurchase his ticket. No one wants to go to a Madonna concert at 10:30. No one wants to. So he said he can't resell his ticket. It's worthless. Well, not worthless. He'll take a huge loss on this thing just because of the change that happened. He said, this is nonsense. So he's trying to make a stand. Good for him. When people want to make a stand, and there's those things they do make a stand for. There's an instance in Las Vegas where the rescheduled time for the concert was 10:30, but Madonna didn't actually hit the stage until 12:30. So imagine this. You buy these tickets, and she doesn't even get on until after midnight. Here's your mistake. You bought tickets to go see Madonna. That is the one and only mistake that you made. In fact, it's not Live Nation's fault that you were dumb enough to want to go see Madonna. Oh, Producer Ben, there was no bed there. Can you fix that? So there it is. When we come back, we'll get a couple of other things here that we will be hitting up. And it's our last hour, so we're going to go to our friends over at AccuWeather, and Carl Babinski will explain it to us one more time when it comes to what's going on into St. Louis when the snow on Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.